I remember back in the days when I was subbing different places every day. And of course, back then, there wasn't a call-out system on the computer. You had to get in good with principals. You had to know some teachers, because that's who called you. And I remember I'd always, every day was, you know, go somewhere different. I went wherever they called me. I used to like those longer trips because I would use that time to pray, and, you know, going into a different school or a different situation and not knowing, you know, what might be happening or going on, just praying, God help me today. But I used to spend a lot of time praying on my way to a substitute job. And the other night I decided I was going to go to Webster Springs. Now, for the visitation for John's mother, Jean Cool, and so, you know, I've been to Camp Town lots of times. And you know how we are as men. You know, all these people say, well, there's all these different Tammy, my good secretary, she got on the computer and found all these different ways. Maybe you should go this way. Maybe you should go that way. And my dad says, I don't think you should go anywhere. It's cold out. It may not be snowing here, but it's definitely snowing there. And, you know, and then dad said, well, you know, maybe I should just go with you. And so, and all the times we've been to Camp Cowan, well, I know how to get to Webster Springs, because I know when we go to Camp Cowan, we turn right there, there's a sign that says Webster Springs, so that's how you get to Webster Springs. So what are all these people talking about? So I'm going to go like I'm going to Camp Cowan, follow that sign that says Webster Springs. And now this was a long trip, and I'll be honest with you, on the way home I'm thinking, well, I don't know if it would be safe to really focus on prayer on the way here or there. I mean, I was praying on my way there on route, you know, on 19, you can pray, but man, when you turn off there and get going to Webster Springs, you better be focused on the road and you better have your hands on the wheel, right? So I'm just kind of, you know, driving along, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I mean, okay, there's Camp Cowan. Where's Webster Springs at? And I just keep on going and keep on going. And think, you know what? I'm going to end up miss this thing. I'm going to really be mad. You know, so I finally got there, didn't I? Got there, you know, and just real thankful. And it was funny. The first thing everybody asked, "Where'd you come? How'd you get here?" And, "Hi, sorry for your loss." But everyone's like, "How'd you get here? Why are you so? I mean, where'd you come?" And but my good friends steered me in a much better direction on the way home. And even Dr. Powson was there, and he said, "Would you like to follow us?" Well. I mean, I love Dr. Powson. He's a good eye doctor, but you got roads like this. He lost me. I'm like, what is he doing? He needs to slow down. I don't really need to follow him. But on the way home, when I got to the main road, I took some time to pray, leaving my eyes open, of course, right, and spending time in prayer. And again, we've been talking since the beginning of this year of what to do, what not to do, what to plan and not plan, your resolutions and all those things you're looking forward to. And every year, regardless of the time, regardless of the year or what's going on, we all need to spend more time in prayer. And I think we need to be deliberate about that. And people are constantly thanking me, and, you know, for praying and saying, you know, I could feel your prayers. That's how important that is, right? And we have been talking since the end of Advent and the end of Christmas about what happened next in Jesus' life. Yes, he was born, because God had a plan for him. He was born, and we talked about what happened next, all the things that we do as parents when new kids are brought into the world, or babies are brought into the world, or things we do. Mary and Joseph were good parents, doing what they were supposed to do, presenting Jesus in the temple. And then we know, you know, Jesus was growing up as a boy. Remember, he was in the temple, and mom and dad left, and Jesus stayed there, and they panicked, and, you know, it took them forever to decide that he was missing, and they should go looking for him. We questioned that parenting, didn't we, that day? But Jesus was where he was supposed to be, in the temple. He stayed there, was listening and learning, and absorbing and taking all that in. And last week we talked about plans, how God had that all planned for Jesus, and for all of us. Not, you don't have to be Jesus for God to have a plan for you, right? His parents were taking care of him, and not knowing maybe or understanding completely who this baby really was and what this baby would become and what this baby would do, and that this baby would end up and be the savior to the world, right? And You know, we pray for plans and we pray for things and we schedule things and not knowing too what God might have in store for you. And again, when I go and do these funerals and go to visitations, like Gene Cole, I shared last week, was our third, fourth, and fifth grade Sunday school teacher downstairs in the fellowship hall in the back room where all the tables and chairs and junk is now. There's a chalkboard there. Remember that Sunday school class very well. Jean Poole is just always, to me, a very pretty lady, very calm lady, well-dressed. And we were good for her. And I remember those things. And I've just been reminded so far this year with people from this church that have gone on to be with Jesus that, man, and growing up and watching these particular people, Mr. Curry and Gene Cool, and having them as Sunday school teachers and knowing all these people that, well, in all of that God had a plan that I would be the pastor here someday. See, God has a plan. And last Sunday we talked about my theory of use a pencil, not a pen. Yeah, you should have a plan. I showed you my calendar books all the way back to 1993. Actually, I was going through those this week, just saying, hey, Grant, you know what? I was doing on that day. That's really weird, probably. But God will put you right where he wants you to be if you let him, right? And so this morning, as we look in Scripture, we're going to look here again, knowing that we serve a good Father who has a plan for us. And he sent Jesus and Joseph here, you know, and Mary. We're given this great task to bring this baby into the world and doing their best with him. And in Matthew chapter 2, we're going to look at something that happened right at the very beginning when Jesus was born, and he made a good decision following the plan. And Matthew 2, if you'll look with me, in Matthew 2, in verse 13, and in verse 13, this is after, you know, all the presents and gifts have been exchanged, and everybody showed up, and followed the star, and the magi, and the shepherds, and again, everybody goes home. What happens next? And so, remember, the magi, of course, visited the Messiah, but there was already some opposition to Jesus' life. So after they'd all gone, and again, it's kind of calming down, it says here, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Well, think about this. The son's been born, all these people are bringing gifts, people are coming from afar and following this star and coming to see Jesus, right? And everything's going well, and they're trying their best. Remember, as parents that take care of Jesus, do all the right things, they're probably nervous, right? And all of a sudden, this angel speaks to Joseph and says, get up. Well, again, you have a plan. You have it all worked out in pencil, I hope. You kind of know what you're supposed to do the rest of today and this week. But when God speaks to you and says, get up, then there goes your plan. And so he says, get up and take your child and your mother, escape to Egypt. Stay there because King Herod already wants to kill Jesus. Why? Because King Herod saw Jesus as a threat to him and to his power. And wow. Regardless of what age your child might be, if you are told to get up, someone wants to kill your kid, you're going, what? You're going to get up and move, right? And so Joseph here is just listening. An angel of the Lord told him what to do, said, get up. What should he do? He should get up, right? When God speaks to us and tells us to get up, we should get up, right? But again, we sometimes don't do that because we're like, oh, I don't know if I can work in the nursery. You know, I don't like that verse. I don't know if I should work at the lighthouse because the middle school kid is here today. Well, whatever God calls you to do, he said, you get up and go, and I'll give you everything you need and take care of everything. So here, they're just trying to enjoy the birth of this baby, and he's got to get up and dinner. Like, oh, okay, well, okay, right? Okay, so in verse 14, so he got up in verse 14. Good dad, right? So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled with what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Now, Joseph could have responded completely different here. I mean, he could have just said, oh, I'm tired. This baby's been more wireless. I'm not going anywhere. I mean, what are you talking about? Nobody's going to come kill a baby. Who does that, right? And so it turns out, if he would have stayed there, what Herod wanted to do would have happened. But he listened to God, listened to the angel, did what he was told. And when Herod died, smoke's clear, right? Wow. Just those two verses right there remind us to do what God tells us to do right now. You know, we grow up and our parents tell us to do things, or adults and teachers and authority tell us to do things. We should do it right now, not wait. And Jesus, his life here, it was the plan, right? That Joseph was supposed to do as part of the plan, because if that would have happened, then Jesus would have died for our sins, right? See, the plan is followed. And see, what we have to understand is we mess things up a lot. Well, you're not going to mess up God's plan, because God's plan is going to win. What God wants for the entire world's going to win, okay? What God wants is really going to happen, I believe. Now, you may not be a part of that, right? God wants you to do this, and both go there, and you say no, or I'll wait, and God just gets somebody else to do it. And we miss out sometimes. Me this morning, I want to do what God wants me to do. And so here, Joseph did what exactly he was told to do, and it certainly turned out to be the right decision. And so we move on. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. Wow, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. Boy, that's a hard story. That's a hard scripture for little kids to understand. You know, why that would be happening. But again, Herod here, he was showing his power and authority, right? Wow. And we think about the situations of our government today. People want to have power, and people want to show their power. And in reality, if people just work together and come together and be together, we could work things out. So this Herod really was evil, right? And of course, Herod had a plan, didn't he? But God's plan wins, right? It says a voice heard in Ramah weeping in great mourning. And it says here that Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now that's kind of hard to read this morning. Kind of hard to take in, right? Wow. And so Joseph hears from an angel. It says, go, escape. Jesus's life, of course, is saved in all this because it's not time for him to go here, right? And we think about, in reading this scripture, we think about traditions and rituals in other countries and how that's happened even after that, and babies being killed and people being murdered, and we don't, it's hard for us to understand those things, right? But in the text of this story, Joseph did what he was supposed to do to save his kid's life, right? That's what he was thinking right then. Again, not knowing, not only was he... not knowing that he was maybe, I'm going to do what I'm told. I'm going to save my kid's life. I'm going to save my kid's life so he can die and save everybody else's life. Does that make sense? I'm going to save my kid, do what I'm told, so he can live and die and save everybody else's life. Wow, what a life that God chose for him, right? And so we have to kind of keep that in perspective here, that Joseph was doing what he was told so that Jesus could follow the plan someday, right? So, all that's done, and we go on to verse 19. It says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take your child are dead. So again, wow, get up. So the one who's trying to take the child's life, there are all those people are there. So you can get up again, right? Wow. Some of you are thinking, wow, all I hear in the morning, I don't hear any angels speaking to me anymore. I hear my wife or my husband or my mom or my dad saying, get up! Get up! It's time to go to work. It's time to go to school. Get up! Well, now, this is a different get up, right? This angel said, David, we get up. We have a decision, but we get up. Really? And our day is full of this. I say this in funerals that I do, that, you know, when we are born and God breathes life, and we begin this journey. And from that moment on, everything's a decision. Are you going to get up? Are you going to go here? Are you going to go there? What are you going to do? You going to do what God wants you to do? And so, in verse 21, what did he do? Well, he got up, right? He got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And then in verse 23, and then from Galilee he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what said to the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. So Jesus is born. Mary and Joseph are trying to do the right thing. This threat of his life has already happened. They hear from God, and they do what they're told. And now they're in Nazareth. And so there begins Jesus' somewhat life, right? And we talked about, remember, that, you know, he was presented in the temple. And then, you know, he was in the temple and he was learning and listening and taking all this in. But again, right there at the very beginning, someone had to be obedient for the plan to be unfolded correctly, right? Or to be carried out as God wanted it to. Joseph was a good father. The angel of the Lord spoke to him and he did what he was told. Now, do we always do that? When God speaks to us, or not just because the pastor asked you, I just want to make this clarification for you. Just because the pastor asked you if you would like to serve on the deacon board or serve as a greeter, doesn't necessarily mean that God is speaking to you, but I believe God told me to ask you, okay? And so, right? Do what God tells you to do. And I think about the condition of our world, the problems in our, everything's been brought forth to my attention, and all the things that are on this list, I'm constantly praying. And I'm always praying for the lost and unsaved, that people would come to Jesus. Someone texted me last night and said, my son wants to know if he can invite three friends to go roller skating. I said, you driving? You going to help us out? Well, I could. I said, well, that'd be great. I said, are they allowed to invite their friends? Well, yeah. We're going to go roller skate. We hope that no one gets hurt. We're hoping to come to back to youth and children's ministry and learn about Jesus, right? That's why we do these things, right? And so, again, every day is full of decisions. But I've read this scripture that I've shared with you this morning over and over. And I think about me as a father. Think about all of you as fathers. We're called to, you know, the man is called to be the head of the household and lead their children and their family to Jesus. Do what God tells him to do. Well, God wants us all to do that. To do what he asked us to do. So here we are, January 20th, 2019, well into this new year. And people are saying to me, and I listen in conversation, hear people in passing, that things have started out horribly, they may not get better. Well, if you believe that, they won't. But I believe that we serve a good, good Father who has a plan for us. And it's intended good for us. But we have to do our part. When he tells us to go, we need to go. When he tells us to get up, we need to get up. Yeah. Regardless of the weather outside or the road conditions, we're going to continue to worship the Lord, right? Now, we know that weather conditions inhibit us to do things, but people can still worship the Lord and be in God's presence, even if they're not here in church. And so this year, I'm just continuing to pray for a lot of people we haven't seen in a while here at the Baptist Church. A lot of your families and people that you want to come to church that haven't been coming. I'm praying that somehow, some way they'll get to church. But it needs to start with prayer, right? I'm praying that God might speak to them. You know, we try so hard. And I used to do this in youth ministry, trying. Thought it was my duty, my responsibility to get all these kids to love Jesus. Get all these kids to give their life to him and be baptized. That's not my job. My job is to lead you there, plant a seed, right? That they too might listen to that voice of God. Right? You guys are be quiet soon, right? But I just, Nancy's going to come and play just to close our service this morning again. This year for some of us has already been very hectic and somewhat out of control and somewhat crazy. Just as I said during our time of prayer, we need to be deliberate in our prayer time. You know, use your time in the car if you're going on a trip, or even work's only 20 minutes. Take a few minutes to pray. Leave your eyes open. You can still talk to God anywhere, anytime, anyway. God's always listening to us. And again, I said this. My prayer for you is what God wants for you. We had our business meeting on Wednesday and just being real happy and celebrating, praising God for the ministry that took place in our church. But praying again in this year, that what God wants for this church is what will happen. What God wants for your life is what will happen this year. And again, that you would be where God would have you to be. And do what God would have you to do. And if he says get up, you get up. Don't ask any questions. Because that's all God wants us to do. If we just get up and start moving, God will take care of all the rest. So let's just take a few minutes right now just to spend some quiet time in prayer. And if you have a decision to make this morning, or if you just need to come up front for prayer, we invite you to do that. And you know, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, boy, today's the day. God says today is the day of salvation. We're not promised of tomorrow, are we? But make the most of today. Wow. Let's go to him in prayer. And as we go to him right now, don't forget to lift up your praises. And Father, our lives are consumed by time. We're always thinking about, when's this going to be over? When's the next thing going to start? We're always thinking about what we need to do next, where we need to be next. So God, we just take some time right now just to be alone with you, to be still and know that you are God, that you do love us. You sent your son Jesus to prove that. He died and rose again. That's love. And God, you have a plan for us, everyone here this morning. For all the people that aren't here, we have a plan for them too. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. And again, I'm thankful for all that are here this morning. Bless each one that's come. But God, we take time right now to just ask you to forgive us of our sins and forgive us for not spending as much time with you as we should. And not putting you first and not always listening and getting up when you tell us to get up and not going when you tell us to go. We're sometimes so concerned about the conditions of the world and everything else that's happening around us. And I pray this year we'll get things in order in our own lives, that we'll be on the plan, on the path, doing as you called us to do. And if we are, that includes leading others to you. God, we love you this morning. And right now we just surrender everything that's on our hearts, all of our concerns, all of our burdens, everything that's wearing us out. And we give you praise for the God that we serve. We praise you in advance as we trust you, knowing and believing you're going to take care of everything. God, you will take care of us because you're a good, good Father. God, we love you. God, we surrender to you now. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.